You're tuned in to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network and streaming live on NBC Sports Now, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network.
Turn it up, Jake. Welcome in to the NBC Sports Now Power Hour. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. I'm PJ Glasser. That is Jared Smith. We're filling in for Nick and Femi here the entire week on the show as those guys are off on vacation. We got a jam-packed hour coming at you here up until 7 p.m. Eastern time. We are 50 days away from the start of the NFL season. 5-0, folks. That's it. It's going to be here before we know it. Jared and I are going to talk about some of our favorite week one bets that we have. Brad Thomas is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes. We're going to get all of his favorite plays for the Open Championship out at Royal Portrush, which begins tomorrow. And then we're going to wrap the show with our favorite bets. Brad Evans of BetMGM Tonight is going to join us as well. So a lot coming up here during the NBC Sports Now Power Hour. But Jared, let's talk some NFL. Let's talk week one. Again, 50 days away from Cowboys and Eagles. Philly, a 6.5-point favorite in that game with the total at 46.5. Actually, a 7-point favorite at BetMGM. Eagles are going to be a very popular teaser play in that game.
Yeah, probably.
I would think. But as you look at the entire week one slate, Jared, what's a game or two that really sticks out to you? Maybe a game that you already bet.
So I think if there's a bet to make right now where I feel like I am going to get closing line value come week one, I do think the Vikings are going to close a favorite at the Bears. And, you know, it's tight right now, right? I got +1.5. It's still +1.5 at BetMGM. There's other shops I'm seeing here in town, some sharper shops that are already at a pick 'em. And I know what you're saying. How often do games land one? Well, thanks for asking that question. I'll tell you right now, because I have the key numbers up in front of me because I was looking at them earlier. Margin of victory over the last 24 seasons. Games land one 4% of the time. Is it a key number? No. Is it a secondary key number? Eh. Is it more than 2, 8, 5, 17, 21, 13? Yes. So it lands one more than you think. Again, games land one more than they land two. I'll repeat that again. Games land one more than they land two in the NFL. So if you can take 1.5 when a game's pick 'em lined elsewhere, I think I feel like I'd rather have the 1.5 in my back pocket. The other game that I bet already that has moved, but I still think there is a little bit of wiggle room, is Bengals Browns under. I got 46.5. We're down to 45 now. In fact, I would say even trending towards 44.5. Key totals in the NFL, 44, the most key. It lands almost 4% of the time. 51 is also important. 37, 43, 40, 47, 48, 55, 45. So I prefer it over that key of 45. But 44.5 being the most key, I still think if you're betting under 44.5 between the Browns and the Bengals, you should feel good about that. Divisional underdogs tend to do well week one. Divisional home underdogs do really well week one. Divisional unders, also a very profitable trend over the last couple of decades in the NFL. The narrative makes sense. The coachings, they know each other very well. The players, they face each other twice a year. And it's an early high leverage game because your divisional record usually determines the tiebreaker if you win the division. So you get a little bit more clench, you know, the cheeks a little clenched tighter early on in a week one divisional game. So I think that's my early vibe, is the Vikings as a dog and the under in the Browns Bengals are my two picks that I've locked in already for week one.
Probably my two favorite bets are out of the NFC North, the two NFC North games that we have, Lions-Packers 425, which is going to be a CBS game, actually. It's going to be Jim and Tony will be at that one. And then the Monday night game between the Vikings and the Bears. I like the total in Vikings-Bears, Jerry. You just talked about that AFC North matchup, Bengals-Browns, divisional unders week one. I like another divisional under at the same number, 44.5. This game's on Monday Night Football, Jared, right? So they're going to get their own pregame show. Everybody is going to talk about the offenses in this game. They're going to talk about what KOC did with Darnold, what the Vikings offense did last year, J.J. McCarthy coming in. Going to talk offense. Obviously, with the Bears, you're going to talk offense. With Ben Johnson, can he turn Caleb Williams into a star? They added Luther Burden in the offseason, all these things. And I think we're going to be overlooking both defenses in this game. Brian Flores has done a terrific job since he's been in Minnesota with that defense. They should have another really good defense this year. That Bears defense was very good for early parts of the season last year. Then obviously fell off when the season kind of unraveled on them. But again, divisional game. Rookie quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, essentially, making his first start, even though it's his second year. He's hurt all of last year, as we know. Rookie quarterback making his first start on the road in prime time against a divisional opponent. Ben Johnson and the Bears, their first game in his new scheme, all the pressure around them at home. To me, Jared, this feels like a 19-17, 20-17 kind of game. So I like the under there. And then Packers-Lions, man. I like Green Bay on the money line at minus 125. They were initially underdog when the lines opened up, when the schedule was released. We got lines. Lions were 1.5-point favorite. Now the Packers have become a 1.5-point favorite. And I agree with the line movement. I like Green Bay in this matchup. Detroit obviously is going to have to replace a lot of coaches on their staff this offseason. They lost Ben Johnson, their OC, Aaron Glenn, their DC. And those guys took a bunch of coaches off that Lions coaching staff as well. So they got to replace a lot of new on that coaching staff. One of the more underrated losses, I think, of the offseason was Detroit losing Frank Ragnow, their center, who was so good for them. We all think about the Lions, obviously, all these weapons that they have on offense, but they also had one of the best offensive lines the last couple years. Now you lose a key piece of that. And on any offense for any quarterback, losing a center that big, losing a center who's that important is going to be big. But especially when you have a quarterback like Jared Goff, who is not a mobile guy, really relies on his line to protect him. And that's why he's been so successful the last couple seasons. So I expect a lot of regression from Goff this year. You know, he's playing six games outdoor this year as opposed to three last season. We all know the numbers on Goff, indoor and outdoor. But I think Ben Johnson put him in just so many situations to succeed that he's obviously not going to have. Now you're losing a key piece of your O-line. Gibbs is amazing. Amon-Ra's awesome. Love the offensive weapons still. But Goff is going to be the key, and I don't think he's going to be as good as he's been the last couple of years. I think that starts week one. You're also going to have a healthy Jordan Love for Green Bay. Matthew Golden comes in to help out that receiving core. Healthy Josh Jacobs. Defense could be ready to go. And we all know Lambeau's a difficult place to play, especially in these showdown-type matchups. So I'll take the Packers money line, Jared Smith, and I'll take under in Vikings-Bears. Couple of plays for me in week one.
I like it. And we talked about this in our last hour. I'll give you this little, you know, I guess it's a lesson, but to me it's just more like a guideline. If we're betting week one, you should automatically be looking at week two. Why? Because the biggest adjustments typically are made between weeks one and two on the look-ahead numbers. For example, PJ just made a great case for why the Green Bay Packers, I won't call it an upset, but that would be a pretty big win after they got beat twice by the Lions last year. If they beat the Lions in week one, that will be a big boost to the Packers' ratings. Who do the Packers play in week two? They're a short favorite at home against Washington on a Thursday night. I'm willing to bet that if PJ is right on his Packers take and they beat the Lions week one, that game week two against the Commanders goes from 1.5-2 probably to 3. So if you do think the Packers are going to beat the Lions week one, and I think it's a very good analysis job done by PJ, then you should also be betting the Packers in week two, because the 1.5-2 that's available right now is probably going to be 3. And then, oh, by the way, what if the Giants beat the Commanders in week one? That could also happen too, right? So again, if you want to bet the NFL like a pro, and I'm not saying I'm a pro, I'm telling you, I work with a lot of them, and this is the information they give me. They say if you're going week one on a certain side that you feel really strongly about, and you look ahead to week two, and you're not bullish on that team in week two, then why are you betting them in week one? Because if they win in week one, and you're right, the number's going to move significantly, maybe not significantly, the number will move more than it would if they just win in week 14, from week 14 to week 15, because the ratings are still kind of getting figured out. So if you agree with PJ, you should bet the Packers week one against the Lions. You should also take a unit and bet the Packers in week two on Thursday night at home against the Commanders, because odds are that number goes from 1.5 to 2.5, maybe even to 3. You can either keep your 1.5 feeling pretty good, or you come back on Commanders plus 3. You play both sides. You hope for a 2-point game. So I think that this is how the professionals view the NFL markets. They are always trying to think 1, 2, 3 moves ahead. And I think between week one and week two is when you get the most movement, typically on the look-ahead lines.
Yeah, that is a terrific analysis. And week two of the NFL, we were talking about earlier, one of my favorite just betting weeks of the year. It's just so fascinating. All the overreaction, underreaction to certain teams, to see how the lines move. People talk about the games throughout the week. So really good stuff. Week one, look ahead to week two as well. Another bet that, piquing my interest, Jared Smith. Your neck of the woods, the Las Vegas Raiders plus 3 against the Patriots. I mean, nice enough for getting a key number. Jared, I think the Raiders are the better football team. I really do. I think the Raiders are better than the Patriots, and I'm getting a plus 3. I know a lot of people are high on Drake May. I'm not one of those people. I think he's a fine player. I'm not ready to anoint Drake May into superstar status. Like, there are a bunch of people that think New England's found their guy. They think they've found their franchise quarterback. I don't know if that's the case yet. I got to see more. That's not saying I'm wrong and he couldn't be that. I don't know if he's there yet. And we're certainly pricing the Patriots this season like Drake May is the dude. Like he's going to take a big step forward and he's going to be the guy. Obviously love the hire of Vrabel in the offseason. I think he's one of the better coaches in the NFL. But, Jared, this was a team that was favored in 0 games last year. They are now favored in 11 games this year, including week one against the Raiders. Has there really been that significant a roster change with the Patriots? They absolutely got better in the offseason. But I'm talking about, like, you know, the Lakers getting LeBron, or one of these, you know, the Lakers getting Luka, right? Like one of these massive mega trades, the Dodgers getting Ohtani. There was none of that with New England. I think there's way too much of an overreaction. They were a bad football team last year. I don't think now all of a sudden we should be talking playoffs with New England. So playoffs, I'm taking the Raiders plus 3 against the Patriots. I'm taking a money line as well. I think they win the game outright.
Wow.
I think the Raiders are the better team, Jared. I really do. I think they're better. We both are bullish on Las Vegas this season. I think it starts week one against the Patriots. So give me Vegas plus 3, but I'll take a money line as well.
So the reason that I'm not overly bullish on Vegas as a whole is because they have the biggest net rest disadvantage in the NFL. And it's crazy, actually. They're a minus 19, which is like way, way, way down on the bandwagon there when it comes to net rest disadvantage. Actually, Detroit's a plus 13. That's a 32-day gap between the team at the top of the rest chart in the NFL and the team at the bottom. That's a big, big difference. And it's a reason why I think, as much as we're down on the Lions this year, they have a very favorable schedule in terms of rest. How much does a rest advantage matter? It matters more when you're on the road. Over the last 10 years, if you exclude the games in 2020, which obviously the home team did not have any home field advantage there because there was no crowd. If you have a 6-day or more rest advantage, so if you're coming off a bye, or if, you know, Monday night, you know, one of those like weird rest spots, you're at a win rate of like 42%. Your cover rate's under 50%. So it's a big gap. If you are at a rest disadvantage, which Vegas will be at for most of the year, but that doesn't matter in week one. Everyone's on the same rest plane in week one, which is why I think that bet makes a ton of sense. Because right now, all I'm hearing is New England this, New England that. Like, it's pretty impressive, actually, how the Patriots have gone from a laughingstock to now a team that's expected to compete for the division. For context, my ratings, what do we make this game? I make this game, hold on, let me find it. I make it 2.5. So if you're getting 3, yeah, I feel like that's a bet.
I mean, I just, you know, I don't get it. Like, they got Travion Henderson in the draft, think he's going to be a good player. Him and Stevenson should be a nice 1-2 punch. You bring over Diggs in the offseason, coming off an injury. Kyle Williams, a lot of people like, think he would be a nice receiver. He's a rookie. You also got DeMario Douglas and Mac Hollins as well. Defense should be solid, and Vrabel's now your head coach. So I can see why people like New England to be better, but, I mean, this was one of the worst teams in the NFL, and like you said, now people are talking playoffs in a loaded AFC, by the way. You had You had three teams in the AFC West that made it last year. You have the Bengals, the Ravens, the Steelers in the AFC North. You obviously got the Bills in your own division. AFC South, who knows what happens there? I don't know, man. Not there with the Patriots, but we'll see. Going to be an interesting year for Drake May, Mike Vrabel, and company. Let's talk some golf. Brad Thomas joins us next. Preview Royal Portrush and the Open Championship.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.